I'm just going to speak to you for about 20 minutes, and then we're going to go. But let me say this to you. The scriptures are perfect. And if you don't know the Jesus of the Bible, then you know the wrong Jesus. If you don't know the Jesus of the Bible, you will use scripture to bring division and divide people's hearts. Don't just let people, you know, throw scripture out to you, because Satan can quote scripture too. Okay? Anytime you see people using scripture and it brings division in the body of Christ or in people's hearts, the person who's saying it does not know Jesus. They know scripture, but they don't know Jesus. You have to know him. He said, "My sheep know my voice." You should know chapter and verse, but make sure you're in love when you memorize it. Be in love with Jesus when you memorize scripture. Praise the Lord. Amen. And being in the room today is not proof of your salvation. His residency in your heart is proof of your salvation. Freedom is the fruit of salvation, not church attendance. Wow. Everybody say freedom. Freedom is the fruit of your salvation, not church attendance. You can come to church every Sunday and be bound in sin. You're not saved. You need to get saved. The fact that you come to church is not the proof of your salvation. Freedom is the proof of your salvation. Church attendance is good. I'm a pastor, my goodness. I want there to be church attendance. Okay. But are you free from sin? Can you control the members of your body? It's so quiet. Y'all turn Lutheran on me. Y'all turn Presbyterian on me today. Can you control the members of your body? John 8:34, jot that down. I'm going to give you several verses to jot down. He who sins is a slave to sin. New Testament. He who sins is a slave to sin. And it's not that you may never sin, it's that if we do, it should feel foreign to us. A lamb and a pig fall in the mud. They both look the same. They're both covered in mud. Because sin is sin, don't care who it's in. Okay? If you want to tell the difference between the lamb and the pig, always remember that when the pig gets in the mud, he wallers. And when the lamb gets in the mud, he cries. And there's something about a real believer that when they fall in sin, they go, I don't feel good here. This is not, I can't be here. This don't feel right. I know y'all having a good time, but for me, this don't. I feel dirty. I feel yucky. I Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, purify me, get me out of this. I know I fell into it. I wish I hadn't, but now that I'm in it, clean me, wash me. Other people waller in it. You see people go, they go to the club. You used to go to the club, but now you're saved, and you go and you say, what was funny ain't funny no more, and what used to be fun, it's not fun no more. And I'm not guilting nobody. I'm not trying to put my convictions on nobody. I'm not judging nobody. I'm just telling you, I can't watch that anymore. I can't listen to that anymore. I can't be around that anymore. I don't feel clean when I'm around it. This is how you know you're saved.
The fact that you have any desire to come to church does not mean you're saved. People come here for all kinds of reasons. People come here because there's a cute girl, cute guy. They want to do business deals. They have a sense of religion, obligation. There's all kinds of reasons people come to church. But how you know you're saved is freedom. He whom the Son is set free is free indeed. You may not like it, but that's the word. And if you don't learn your Bible, listen to me. If you do not learn your Bible, you will not survive in these last days. Because the Bible says in the last days, there will be so many false doctrines and false prophets and false teachers. So many deconstructionists. Why do you tithe? You don't need to tithe anymore. Oh, why do you go to church? You don't need to go to church anymore. That's organized religion. You don't need to serve. You know, you don't? Oh, yeah. Let somebody post, chocolate's good for you. Oh, I believe it. Yeah, that's good. Chocolate is from a plant, so chocolate is salad. Oh, it's God. And so you'll go all over, because your flesh leans in. The Bible calls it itchy ears. When people say things and you, yeah, tithe. Oh, I can keep my money. Yeah, that's God. Oh, don't go to church. I can sleep in. Yeah, that's God. And people, a lot of deconstructionists are actually former church staff members who are disgruntled. A lot of people, they're former people who used to be a part of the church, and now they've made it their life's mission to destroy the church. They boo the church. Boo! Church gets ready to try to do something for God. Boo! And they deconstruct. What does that say right there? We are builders. Nehemiah, we are builders and we are fighters. We don't tear down. We don't tear down. We build. Everybody say we build. And be careful. Don't let your young people start watching these deconstructionists on YouTube. Be careful that you don't let people. You know how you know something's demonic? Is anytime you, once you read it, you read their Facebook posts or you talk to them and you instantly feel confusion. You instantly feel like anxious, worried, fearful, scared, confused. This is how you know it's not of God. Because Satan is the author of confusion. See how I'm talking to you about the Word of God and you don't feel anxious, fearful, confused, all that? Because that's the Word. That's the presence of Jesus. Come on, can I get an amen about that? You know it's not godly when you leave them and I'm worried, I'm stressed, I'm anxious, I'm fearful, I'm this and that. There's so much this. I lies. I don't know. That because it's ungodly. There is an unfollow button. Yeah. I am not going to follow people that destroy the faith that was imparted into me from my grandparents and my parents. Unfollow. Delete. I'm going to look to the Holy Scriptures, and if you don't know the Scriptures, you will become deceived. You better learn your Bible more than you learn your favorite song. It's time to know your Bible, not your favorite blogger or YouTuber or deconstructionist. Our opinions do not set captives free. The Word of God does. Write these down. John 8:32. You shall know the, and the truth shall set you free. Psalms 119:89. The Scriptures say forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Everybody say it's settled. I just don't agree. I don't care. It's settled. Well, I think you can be whatever gender you want. Doesn't matter. The Bible says he made them male and female, created he them. And the word is settled. Well, I think you should marry who you want. Doesn't matter. God said marriage between a man and a woman. And the word is settled. It's settled. The Bible says when there is no king in Israel, meaning when there's no king in your heart, every man does what's right in his own eyes. It's right because you did it. Okay. Mm-mm. That's not the word. God's word is settled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall stand forever. And when Jesus burns in your heart, his church becomes more important than your personal preferences. Amen. I'm going to say that again. When Jesus burns in your heart, his church becomes more important to you than your personal preferences. When you are immature, everything is about us. And we choose churches that recognize our gifting. And I'll give that church enough time to see if they recognize my gift. And if they don't recognize it, I'm going to the next church hoping they see my gift. First of all, there's a few things wrong with that. Okay, first of all, it's not your gift. It's the Lord's. And if you really have it like that, you don't have to try to make room for your gift. Your gift will make room for you. Proverbs 18:16. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. Your gift does, not your pushiness, not your attitude, not your mood. What? Yeah, your gift. And we don't realize it, but if you do that, all of a sudden what happens is you end up going to church for yourself. We end up going to church for us rather than to worship the Lord. If you're a worship leader, you go to the church that lets you sing the most sets. And if you're a preacher, you'll go to the church that'll give you the greatest opportunity to open your mouth. And people who have that spirit glow in the dark here. They glow in the dark here because you're here to show us how great you are. And without knowing it, you're saying, this is my house and not the Lord's, which is the opposite and the antithesis of what the Father loves about his Son, Jesus. Philippians 2:7, he made of himself no reputation. No reputation. Now I've heard it once, I've heard it a million times in 2 decades, I left there because they didn't recognize my gift. Of course they didn't recognize your gift. They weren't looking at you. They were too busy looking at Jesus. And this is what the church is meant to be, a people who are in one accord, who have made of themselves no reputation. And that's not to say that God doesn't take a person that's made of themselves no reputation and lift him up like Mother Teresa. Yeah. Mother Teresa never posted about herself. No. How originally have you ever heard of Mother Teresa? Yeah, she never had a podcast. She was never like, you know what, I really want to get my name out there so people see what I'm doing. She made of herself no reputation, and God lifted her up. We don't want to be a part of something where we anoint ourselves, call ourselves, appoint ourselves. It's about Jesus, and you never waste time thinking about Jesus. Yeah. Philippians 2:7-12, he took on the form of a bondservant. Jesus took on the form of what? A bondservant. And coming in the likeness of men and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself. Humility is not controlling. It's Christian. It's Christian. It's to be like Christ. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He is Lord. Everybody say, He is Lord. He is Lord. There's only one way to the Father, and it's Jesus. And be careful for people who try to get you to, well, you can get to heaven. There's all kinds of ways. There's all kinds of ways. You can believe this faith and that faith. No, we don't believe in hell anymore. We don't believe in Jesus. We don't believe in giving or serving or tithing. We don't believe in submitting to leaders. We just do whatever we want. This is all ungodly. It sounds good, but it's godly. The Bible says there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end is destruction thereof. That seems right. That seems right. Yeah. We don't need to go to church. That seems right. We could have that day to do whatever we want to do. Oh, that seems right. Yeah. And at the end is destruction. You got to let your heart be pastored and make it a joy to be pastored. I got on to somebody the other day because they were making it so difficult for Pastor Andrew to lead them. So difficult. So I was like, look, you have to stop acting like that because you're not being a joy to pastor. What? You can't say that. Let's look at the New Testament, Hebrews 13:17. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account to God. That man sitting over there is going to stand before God one day. This man is going to stand before God. I'm going to give an account for every sermon. I'm going to give an account for every offering. I'm going to give an account for every event, everything we did, what was the motive behind it? Not just what, just how many of you know you'll all be judged not on what you did, but the heart behind why you did it. Come on, can I get an amen about that? Well, the same thing goes for me. Every single thing we do in this church, God is looking at the motive behind it. That offering we just took up, I'll be judged at the motive. The motive behind why we did it. You won't stand before God for me, but I will stand before God for you. This is in Hebrews, New Testament. What? I never heard that verse. Wonder why. There's no deconstructionist teaching you this one. Must give an account. Look at what it says. Do this. Why should you listen to them? Do this so that their work will be a joy and not a burden. Not a burden. For that would be no benefit. Is it a benefit to him? No, it's a benefit to you. It's a benefit to you. He says, look at the verse. He says, do this so that it is a joy, not a burden, for that would be no benefit to you. He says, it's your benefit. How many of you believe the Bible in the New Testament? He says, it's your benefit when you listen to your pastors with joy. So if I get up here and I'm telling you as your pastor, I want you to pray. Oh my God. There's no joy. Do you see what I'm saying? So this is the word of God. It's teaching you. I tell somebody once before, I said, look, I don't want to pastor you. You got to go somewhere else. You bring no joy in pastoring you. You're very difficult. You complain all the time. You are negative. You're sowing discord amongst the brethren. You need to repent and get saved. And I don't even know a pastor that wants to pastor you. So you need to repent and get saved if you're going to be here. If not, you need to go because you bring no joy to my life or anybody else's life. What? You can't say that. Absolutely said it. He said, I resign from pastoring you. I am not going to stand before God and give an account for you because you won't listen. Who in here wants to watch somebody's child and they won't listen? Stay out in the road. And you're like, come out the road. You're not my daddy. You know what? You're right. You're right, and I am never watching you again. Come on, can I get an amen about it? You need to stop dating that person. They are destroying your life. You can't tell me. You know what? You know what? You're right. And I resign from pastoring you. I'm being a little funny. I count on one hand in 20 years of people I've said that to. But what I'm saying is, you got to let your heart be pastored. Come on, can I get an amen about that? You got to let your heart be pastored. And do that with a joy. And we preach the Jesus of the Bible. Well, how do I get to the place where I don't believe any of this stuff anymore? You stopped reading your Bible. You stopped spending time with Jesus. And you started spending more time on Facebook, letting people who are hurt and offended and wounded counsel you. Listen to me. When you get hurt, not if, who counsels you? Who counsels you? When you get hurt in church, who counsels you? When you get hurt in your marriage, who counsels you? Is it the Lord? Is it His word? Or is it bitter people? You'd be shocked. 20 years of pastoring, rather. You'd be shocked at the women who get a divorce and they let divorced women who are bitter become their counselors. Men too. You'd be shocked at the people who get hurt in a church and then let people who have been hurt in church become their counselors and not the scriptures. I'm confused. You're confused because you're listening to people and not the Bible. If you would listen to the Bible, you would be no confusion, because God is not the author of confusion. You've been on the phone with 30 people and you've not spent 30 minutes with Jesus. That's why you're confused. God is not confusing. God is not the author of confusion. That is like the banner of Satan is confusion. I'm confused. Ding, 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 ding. Run to the scriptures. Run to Jesus. Not people. Acts 4:12, there is one name under heaven and on the earth by which men might be saved, and it is Jesus. I don't care what people tell you. That's the word. Individualism is plaguing the church. And I'm just talking about creative. I mean the church in general. My needs, my perspective, my criticism, my views, my needs, my opinion, my preferences. And dishonor is running rampant in churches towards leaders, towards shepherds. That's why I'm talking about it. And it is a satanic plot to rob the church of the glory of true discipleship. Well, I don't think, and I don't agree, and I need, and I. Be careful with statements that start with I. Most of your complaints start with that word. Even in your marriage. You know what it sounds like? That's another ding, ding, ding of Satan, is the things that start with I a lot of times. Isaiah 14:14. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Next thing Jesus says, I saw him fall. Watch people in church who complain and start with I. The next thing, they gone. I will ascend. I don't like, I disagree. Jesus doesn't pray things like that. Jesus prays things like, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be. Our, you know what? I don't agree. but our Savior likes it. I don't really like that song, but our Jesus likes it. I don't really like how long the church service is, but our Jesus likes it. Our. You see the difference? There's a difference when you posture your heart from I to our. Because it's not about you or me. It's about us. And it's about him. Can I get an amen about it? It's about Jesus. Everybody say it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. And Jesus begins his prayer with our. This means my perspective is not king. John 8:28. Then Jesus said unto them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. When I am lifted up, when we lift up Jesus, when we lift up the presence of the Lord in the church, he will manifest himself. John 12:31-33. Now is the judgment of the world. Now the ruler shall be cast down, and I am lifted up. I will draw all people to myself. Jesus declares his deity by the way he dies. This is the opposite of self-exaltation. Jesus said, you will know that I am God by the way I die. If you were going to prove to somebody you were God, how would you do it? How would you do it? What was the movie that Jim Carrey did where he was God with Morgan Freeman? Bruce Almighty. And he showed that he was God by all the things he could do. Come on. If you were going to show somebody, show the world you're God, what would you do? It surely wouldn't be dying naked on a cross in public. But that's Jesus. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. Jesus showed who he was by how he died. It's not about us, it's about him. Everybody say it's about him. Yeah, it can't be about I. It's gotta be about Jesus. My wife, I remember a couple of years ago, we got ready to do family pictures, and the oldest four kids really upset my wife. She was just getting so upset. And I remember we were all getting dressed. First of all, it's a whole ordeal to get like us is like, you know, you got to get like mentally prepared for this day. And so we get ready to leave, and the four oldest ones upset her so bad. She goes, you're not going in the pictures. You're staying here. And we left them. We left the oldest four and just took the youngest four to the family pictures. You ain't in the band no more. That's what she said. And we took the, so if you ever see me post a picture with just us and the youngest four, it was from that day. And so we got out there, and what happened was, we have cameras in our house, okay, with audio. And so they forgot. The oldest four forgot. And so my wife gets in the car as we're driving to the photo shoot, and she's just listening and watching them. Oh my Lord. They start blaming each other, using the word I, and I just don't agree, and I can't believe. Let your kids get just together and watch if you don't come up. I just don't think daddy, blah, 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 blah. And I just don't think, and I just don't think, and they complain. See, the ones who are focused on I and complain end up not being in the family picture. I can see it in church. The people who complain, the people, all of a sudden, they ain't in the picture no more. Because they made it about them and not about Jesus. Wow. Amen. Somebody say, I'm going to be in the picture. I'm going to be in that picture. Jesus declares his, I'm almost done. Listen, Jesus declares his deity by the way he dies, opposite of us. And there's something about the way Jesus died that opened the eyes of his followers. And that is the glory of the cross. That is why the devil wants to destroy it, burn it, criticize it, tear it down. The church, don't talk to me, don't correct me, don't sit me down. God spoke to me, you can't change my mind. And that is the opposite of what it looks like to carry the tree of Jesus. And the devil wants to exalt himself. He says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will ascend to the hills of the north. And what Adam did was Adam and Eve, in the garden, they ate of the tree. And all of sin came into the world by Adam and Eve. You shall be like God. If you eat of this, you shall be like God. But Jesus chooses a completely different, opposite route. A completely different method to declare who he is. He says, boys, watch the way that I die, because the way that I die will prove to you that I am the Lord. He says, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. And do you know why the gates of hell are prevailing against churches in America? It's because they fail to lift up Jesus. If you lift up Jesus, Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And if the gates of hell are prevailing against the church, it's because the church is not lifting up Jesus. We have to lift up Jesus. Come on, church, can I get an amen about that? When was the last time you listened to a podcast about the cross? The cross. Lifting up Jesus. And John saw the glory of the crucifixion of Jesus. And we think, watch me do my thing. Watch me do. Let me show everybody how anointed I am, how awesome I am, how much God is with me by what I do. But Jesus is like, let me show you how much God is with me by watching how I die. Not watch my gifts, my talents, my skills, my abilities. No, watch me die. And we think the glory, you know, is in our gift. No, the glory is in your persecution. We all need a limp, like Paul, to be like Jesus. Do not trust the side of you that has no limp. Do not trust the part of you that acts like you've got it all together. Good. Brokenness and humility is greatness. And God loves you too much to not weaken you. He doesn't want us to walk with confidence in ourselves. He wants us to drag one leg behind us for our own good. This is the faith of the cross. Watch us die. Watch us bleed with love and mercy and declare that he is the King of glory. And it's impossible to see another side of him that's not the cross. This is the mystery of the church. The church finds itself with the crucified Lamb, the beautiful Lamb. We wage war different than the spirit of this age. We are the cheek turners. Come on, church. We're the foot washers. We are like the disciples when they said, count it all joy if we are counted worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ. And when we are in lack, we give, which is completely different from the world. Romans 8, 36 and 39, Paul says, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How many of you think Jesus loves you? Raise your hand. How do you know biblically he loves you? What's the verse on it? Give me a verse. John 3:16. For God, what? So. It's not that, when you read that verse, it's not that he's like, I love you so much that I just gave Jesus. When that word so means in this way. I love you in this way. What way? That I died for you. That he showed his love by dying. And he invites us into a death of ourselves. Come on, somebody. Into the death of ourselves. Let me leave you with this. I gotta go. Adam eats from a living tree in the garden, and he dies. Jesus partakes of the cross on a dead tree in a garden and brings life. This is wisdom. The wisdom of God. Jesus dies on something dead and comes to life. Adam clings to life and dies. That's why Jesus said, if you try to hold your life, you shall lose it. If you cling to life like Adam, you will die. But if you lose your life for my sake, if you die daily, if you pick up your cross, if you choose to die, you shall live. This is the wisdom of Christianity. This is what the world cannot understand. Because the world is saying, live, 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 live. And they keep dying. And Jesus is saying, die, 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 that you may live. This is why Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. The only way to live the Christian life is to die. And Christ lives in you. It's not about trying hard and I've got to make it and I got to do it and No, it's surrender. It's the cross. It's the crucified Savior. The suffering one. And this is the wisdom that the world cannot understand. We need less activity and more obedience. We need less initiatives and more simplicity. And he cuts away all the things that do not look like him, and hopefully at the end of it, we look like Jesus. We look like Jesus. Let me give you this last verse, Psalms 104, 29 through 30. This verse wrecked me in Psalms. It says, you hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created, renew the face of the earth. What does that mean? When you hide your face, they are troubled, and you take away their breath and they die. See, in our world, we live and then we die. But in the kingdom, you die and then you live. Look at that. You take away their breath, they die, and they return to dust. So you die. Then you send forth your spirit, and they are created. Made new in Jesus. Come on, somebody say amen about that. This is the Christian verbiage. This is what we need as a church. We need to be more merciful, more soft. We need to be slower to anger and quicker to forgive. We need to be more patient with people who just don't know. We need to be more like Jesus. I'd personally rather go through more pain than resist the Lord. We need more tears and less volume. More gentleness and less arguments. You know, I was thinking this week, Andrew, as we walk through some change and turn, and there's people who don't like things, and for over 2 decades I've had lots of people leave the church and talk about me and make up lies and all kinds of things. And you know, I thought about it for a moment, and I thought about Paul, when Paul asked the Lord to take this thorn out of his flesh 3 times, and God said, no, I'm not going to do it. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. Come here, Andrew. And I was thinking about this for a moment. And there's this moment with Jacob where Jacob's like wrestling with God. And he's like, do this, you know, put your hands on my shoulder. So he's like, he's wrestling with God. He's fighting with God. And there's this moment where God hits Jacob's thigh and he knocks it out of joint. And Jacob goes from fighting to leaning. And he goes from like fighting with God to being dependent upon God. Thank you, Andrew. And I think there's this moment in my life and all of us where you go from fighting with God to leaning on God. And typically it's after a hit. And I started to think, like, it's so good that you have people who don't like you. It's so good to have people get on social media and talk about you and say lies about you, because it keeps you close to the cross. It keeps you going to Jesus. How many of you know if you had a layoff, how you would run to the Lord? How many of you know if you got a bad report from the doctor, how you would run to Jesus? Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? Like you start to realize, like, it is good that we have been persecuted, like Paul. Because if we wouldn't have been persecuted, we wouldn't be dependent upon him. So that's why the apostle said, count it all joy when you suffer. Count it all joy, because it keeps you close. And sometimes you're trying to pray it away and God is like, no, I'm not going to get rid of it. My grace is sufficient for you. Come on, you get something out of this today, give Jesus a prayer.